Wu knew Hammond was about to launch into one of his old speeches. He held up his hand. I'm familiar with this, John. If you were going to start a bioengineering company, Henry, what would you do? Would you make products to help mankind? To fight illness and disease? Dear me, no. That's a terrible idea. A very poor use of new technology. Hammond shook his head sadly. Yet you'll remember, he said, the original genetic engineering companies like Genentech and Cetus were all started to make pharmaceuticals. New drugs for mankind. Noble, noble purpose. Unfortunately, drugs face all kinds of barriers. FDA testing alone takes 5 to 8 years, if you're lucky. Even worse, there are forces at work in the marketplace. Suppose you make a miracle drug for cancer or heart disease, as Genentech did. Suppose you now want to charge $1,000 or $2,000 a dose. You might imagine that is your privilege. After all, you invented the drug. You paid to develop and test it. You should be able to charge whatever you wish. But do you really think that the government will let you do that? No, Henry, they will not. Sick people aren't going to pay $1,000 a dose for needed medication. They won't be grateful, they'll be outraged. Blue Cross isn't going to pay it. They'll scream highway robbery. So something will happen. Your patent application will be denied, your permits will be delayed. Something will force you to see reason and to sell your drug at a lower cost. From a business standpoint, that makes helping mankind a very risky business. Personally, I would never help mankind. Wu had heard the argument before, and he knew Hammond was right. Some new bioengineered pharmaceuticals had indeed suffered inexplicable delays and patent problems. Now, Hammond said, think how different it is when you're making entertainment. Nobody needs entertainment. That's not a matter for government intervention. If I charge $5,000 a day for my park, who is going to stop me? After all, nobody needs to come here. And far from being highway robbery, a costly price tag actually increases the appeal of the park. A visit becomes a status symbol, and all Americans love that. So do the Japanese. And of course, they have far more money.
Hammond finished his ice cream, and Maria silently took the dish away.
She's not from here, you know, he said. She's Haitian. Her mother is French. But in any case, Henry, you will recall that the original purpose behind pointing my company in this direction in the first place was to have freedom from government intervention anywhere in the world.
Speaking of the rest of the world, Hammond smiled,
we have already leased a large tract in the Azores for Jurassic Park Europe, and you know we long ago obtained an island near Guam for Jurassic Park Japan. Construction on the next two Jurassic Parks will begin early next year. They will all be open within 4 years. At that time, direct revenues will exceed $10 billion a year. And merchandising, television, and ancillary rights should double that. I see no reason to bother with children's pets, which I'm told Lou Dodgson thinks we're planning to make.
$20 billion a year, Wu said softly, shaking his head.
That's speaking conservatively, Hammond said.
He smiled.
There's no reason to speculate wildly.
More ice cream, Henry.
Did you find him? Arnold snapped when the guard walked into the control room.
No, Mr. Arnold.
Find him!
I don't think he's in the building, Mr. Arnold.
Then look in the lodge, Arnold said. Look in the maintenance building. Look in the utility shed. Look everywhere. But just find him.
The thing is, the guard hesitated, Mr. Nedry's the fat man, is that right?
That's right, Arnold said. He's fat. A fat slob.
Well, Jimmy down in the main lobby said he saw the fat man go into the garage.
Muldoon spun around. Into the garage? When?
About 10, 15 minutes ago.
Jesus, Muldoon said.